though wise men at their end, no dark is right. Because their words had forked no lightning, they do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.
Thank you so much.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, go. Hi, guys. Welcome back. This is episode 24 of the Midcasters. I'm your co-host, Jalen, joined by the always amazing
Craig, your favorite content creator.
And today we got a special guest, Sunny. How are you? Introduce yourself. What's your favorite movie?
Hi.
Question.
No, that's a great question. Hi, Jalen. Hi, Craig. Hi, everybody. I'm Sunny, and I'm just so excited to be here with you all today. I've been such fans of your work, your podcast, and your individual content as well. I think it's great that you all are building this community. I am a huge fan of movies. I have a TikTok account where I post my thoughts, analyses, reviews of movies, TV shows, and sometimes books. I've just been a lifelong fan, Sunny Seaside Up. And I am just so excited to be here with you all today and just to chat about the latest topics.
And I'm finally glad that we got you on because you're always so insightful and I'm always so jealous of how you speak. I wish I could be that insightful.
You are so insightful, Jalen. I love your passion, enthusiasm. I learned so much. So
I try not to rage bait, but I really appreciate you.
No, this is great.
And today we got some news, and obviously the Oscars is tonight. So we're going to start off with some news. Ayo Edebere, who we all know and love from The Bear, is set to write and star in A24's live-action Barney adaptation. Sunny, Craig, what are your thoughts on that, and what are your hopes for the movie?
Sunny, I'll let you go first.
I mean, I am really excited. I think I've known her from The Bear, and she's directed some fantastic episodes, and I can't wait for her to take a more creative role and just to for her to take a really interesting spin on Barney. Will it be like Barbie in a sense, where it's like they're going to have an interesting movie about an imaginary character that's been in our space, basically our, like, what do you call it? Like, that's been just part of so many generations, so beloved for a long time. So I'm excited. It looks like it's Daniel Kaluuya's 59% Productions, A24, and Mattel are getting together for this. So that's really exciting.
I hope it's more like a Barbie situation, like a really heartfelt story. I was really hoping she would direct this, but who knows? It might change down the line. But hopefully it's not like a horror adaptation because I don't need them to ruin Barney for me.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Gosh, yeah, what do you think?
I think comedians make the best writers, so I think that rather it's a comedy or a drama or whatever it is, I think it's going to be phenomenal. And Daniel Kaluuya he's one of my favorite actors.
Maybe he'll direct it or she'll direct it, but I'm just really excited for this. I always get like SNL vibes from her writing, and I just really enjoy everything she puts on screen.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited. But
oh my gosh, I know. I just love A24 altogether, but please don't be a horror movie. Oh gosh. Yeah. And speaking of news, we finally have a teaser 1 year early or over a year early from Shrek 5. And this time, Zendaya is in it. Now, I know the animation looked a little wonky, but I'm going to be honest, I don't really focus on the animation. I just focus on the fact we got a teaser. But what are your thoughts, Sunny, Craig?
I mean, I am, you know, I'm in, at first I heard that there was going to be Shrek 5 a long time ago, and I was not a huge fan of Shrek 4, so I was like, oh, do we really need a Shrek 5? But then after having rewatched Shrek 4, and I was like, oh, it's actually not that bad. It does have some funny moments, and it's been a while. I mean, it seems like Cameron Diaz came out of retirement for this, and the whole gang is back. I wouldn't mind it. And Zendaya does make a lot of sense. You know, she is definitely the, you know, late millennial Gen Z sort of draw. So, I mean, yeah, she's like the it girl. I think it'll be interesting. What do you think, Craig and Jalen?
be positive, Craig. She's a lifelong fan of the movie.
I'll say this in the nicest way possible. I don't want it. The animation was it doesn't need to look like the original animation, but it just doesn't look, it doesn't even look like the characters. They look like it looks like a robot chicken sketch.
I didn't even focus on the animation. I don't know. I think my brain just was like, are we actually getting this? This is for real now. I swear they had like 15 kids, but I guess they only had 3 or 5. I swear I saw like 15 kids. Like, I can't be that crazy. Nothing will ever beat Shrek 2, though. But it does come out Christmas 2026. So, I mean, they're probably still working on the animation, obviously, because animation does take a long time. But Cameron Diaz is back, and I can't wait. Also, we need a Bad Teacher 2. That's a side note.
I need to watch Bad Teacher 1. I still haven't seen it.
Oh, gosh. I think you'd like it. It's pretty funny. Cameron Diaz just has a knack for comedy. And I think her last movie that she did before she kind of like went into a semi-retirement was like The Other Woman.
It was with Kate Upton, I think. Yeah.
I love that movie so much. It kind of gives me like This Is 40 vibes. Like, it's just like a comforting movie for some reason. Plus Nicki Minaj, really randomly.
Yeah, she was very funny as well. Yeah.
But we all know how Craig thinks about that. SAG was last weekend and the Oscars is tonight. So we're just going to go over some. I paused for a second. I'm sorry. I was sharing my screen, but it wasn't.
Oh, no worries.
Okay. So should have the screen if you guys can see it.
Hold on.
Ooh, thank you.
Yes. So we're not going to go through all of them. We're just going to go through some of the major ones that we have. The biggest one being Best Picture. Anora, The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Yes, 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 Emilia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and Wicked. What are your guys' thoughts on this? Who do you hope will win, and who do you know that the Oscars are going to pick? Because we all know they're pretty predictable.
I mean,
I keep having nightmares about Emilia Perez, and I want to end.
I feel like Carla really screwed the pooch on that one. So there's that. I think she's the one who's like pretty sure that they're not going to win anything, with maybe one win, but that's it.
Yeah, it's I also agree with Craig. I was listening to another content creator was saying like the worst case scenario would be probably Emilia Perez winning, and I'm like, yeah, that really shouldn't happen. I don't know, like I also still have nightmares about it as well, Craig. It was just bad, just in all levels, the acting, the singing, the plot, just the character, it didn't make sense. And I'm really hoping that I'm wondering if it will be between Anora and The Brutalist is what I'm thinking. I personally think Anora is a more concise film, and you know, it just has a lot of great acting, very tight screenplay, beautiful cinematography, and it was really actually really a more heart, it was funny. And also in a way, very like sincere. It was really different from what I expected. I'm rooting for it. And then The Brutalist was really long. it's an epic. It's about 3 hours and 35 minutes. I think it has some beautiful cinematography, and it's definitely an epic in all the ways, like great acting, but just the whole AI scandal makes me a little bit doubtful about, you know, I just don't like this idea of using AI for like perfection in art. I think we're supposed to be authentic in art, and that doesn't necessarily mean being like perfect or being unhuman. I haven't seen A Complete Unknown or Conclave. Probably should, or Dune actually. Probably should. I really did like The Substance. I know I'm probably missing out.
You've seen more than me, though. So.
Oh, no, no, no. The Substance was a fantastic movie, but I think it's a bit intense. I think it's a little bit out there, so I don't think it will win for Best Picture. Maybe has a better chance for Best Screenplay, I'm wondering, because I heard it's very unique in terms of like how like the screenplay format. And Wicked, not sure. I think it is a crowd pleaser, but yeah, I don't think, I do still think it's between Anora and The Brutalist, but I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong.
I feel like they're going to play it safe and pick Conclave because nothing, there's no controversy with it. And I think they're just going to pick whatever is the safest option. Maybe I'm Still Here. I could see that in my opinion.
Oh, Craig? Maybe.
As long as it's not Emilia Perez and The Brutalist, just, I just don't want to sit through close to 4 hour movie with a 15 minute commercial break.
Oh my gosh. I completely agree with you.
Yeah, it's so a bit long.
Yeah.
I think two of those movies should be it. I think two of those movies should be replaced. I would take out Emilia Perez and I would take out A Complete Unknown and replace it with Challengers and Nosferatu.
Oh, I forgot about Nosferatu, but I'm not really like a horror person, to be honest.
I want to watch Nosferatu, but I think it's on Peacock now, so maybe I'll try.
Yeah, y'all watch it and tell me how it is.
I saw it twice in theaters. I absolutely loved it.
Oh, gosh. Oh. Well, we have a much different list for directing. Not really shocking, just very predictable in my opinion. We have Anora, The Brutalist again, A Complete Unknown, Emilia Perez, I almost skipped it, and The Substance. But it's definitely missing Denny from Dune Part 2. Mm-hmm. And I just noticed the Conclave director is missing. So I think they're probably going to play it safe and do like Anora or like The Brutalist. But what are your guys' thoughts?
I have read articles, I think recently, the New York Times article that says Sean Baker is favored to win for directing. And I do think he's done so much great work, like the Florida Project, that I would be happy if he won. I think he has a very unique sort of directing style, way of telling stories. I would be more in favor of Sean Baker winning than like, I mean, with the AI scandals, with The Brutalist, I just, again, something is off about that. And then I don't like the director of Emilia Perez said he didn't have to immerse himself in the Mexican culture. That sort of arrogance just really turns me off. And I don't know, The Substance, again, I think it's a very unique movie, but maybe it's still too out there for winning an Oscar for Best Directing. So I think it might be Sean Baker, but what are your thoughts, Craig and Jalen?
The Oscars love male directors.
Yeah. Sadly.
Oh,
only Emilia
Perez. Yeah, I know. I keep thinking of that one scene or that one segment from Natalie Portman. Here are all the male director nominee. We need more women on this. It pisses me off that they are not on this. And did it for Emilia Perez? He didn't even go to Mexico, did he?
I think he was like, oh, I don't really need to. And I was like, wow, that's very, very disturbing and very, I don't know. It seemed like he didn't even care, actually.
Yeah. The 2 minute synopsis or the music of like her in the doctor's office was all I needed to see to know. I don't ever want to watch that movie. Craig.
I think that it's definitely going to go to Sean Baker. Mm-hmm. I also think that he's a lock in for original screenplay as well.
Ooh, I still need to see Anora. Every time I see Mikey, I just think of Scream and it's just like, I can't get it out of my head. So once that's out of my head, I'll watch the movie. I can't help it. It's just right there, guys. Oh my gosh.
I need to see I think she's in more of the newer Screams, right? And then, she's in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood as well, which I haven't seen her before, Anora, so maybe I don't know. Like,
yeah, I've seen her in Scream, but I don't remember her in Once Upon a Time because, like, I'm there for Leo and Brad Pitt.
Yes, the mains. Yes, absolutely.
Oh gosh. And let's move on to our next one, which I feel like is the most predictable actress in a supporting role: Monica Barbarillo, Ariana Grande, Felicity Jones, Isabella Rossellini, and Zoe Saldana. I think we all know who the Academy's picking is.
Unfortunately, yes, I do think that's probably a lock-in for Emilia Perez, though I don't know why. I mean, she's okay, but the whole movie is a mess. His three daughters
was right there. You had Natasha Lyonne, Carrie Coon, and Elizabeth Olsen that could have all been nominated in supporting. I just felt like they... I mean, Natasha Lyonne should have taken her position. But, I mean, I don't know if the Academies are going to be like, yeah, she'll get it eventually, but not now. And maybe give it, like, a Isabella and be like, yeah, now it's your time, girl, type of thing.
That's right, because she's so, like, she's kind of like an icon and has been around since, like, way back when. She's also the daughter of, what's her name? The very famous Ingrid Bergman, right? So she's like, yeah.
It might be a legacy win for her. Felicity Jones, yeah, I think she should have won for something else. It's not her time. Ariana Grande, they're probably going to be like, girl, it's your first time. You'll get it eventually. Monica, I don't know. I don't really have comments on that because I feel like Carrie Coon or like Natasha Lyonne could have been there, or even Elizabeth Olsen. I'm still mad about that movie, guys.
I need to watch it. It looks like the kind of movie I would love. I love, you know, all three actresses. So yeah,
I agree. Craig, what do you think?
This category is probably one of the worst. Out of everyone in this category, I think I've only seen three. Enclave is in this one, right? Yes, I've seen that, Wicked, and Emilia Perez. I don't know why that movie keeps winning anything. It should win a Razzie.
Netflix is paying somebody for sure.
I would love to see it go to Ariana Grande, but unfortunately, since that movie has been winning all award season,
no, I'm just gonna
have more nightmares about it.
Just Zoe. To me, Zoe doesn't have the acting capabilities for anything that she's been in my opinion. I know people might disagree with that. I just don't think she's a good actress.
If anything, I think she should have won for the first Avatar.
I didn't watch it. I've seen first Avatar, but they lost me when they made the second one. And I'm like, I've already moved on. I forgot the story, why they're there in the first place. I'm done.
I always say that Avatar is just Pocahontas, but with blue people.
It kind of is, actually.
Isn't like Sigourney Weaver in it too, or something?
She is in both. Yeah, she's Sigourney's probably one of the best parts of both Avatar 1 and 2, I think, actually. Yeah.
The only reason why it makes money is because it has all these special ways that you need to be watching it to be fairly immersed in the film. I was like, I'm not seeing it at 4DX, but thank you, though. I'll see it at home.
Christopher Nolan said the same thing. I love Christopher Nolan, but don't tell me how to watch my movies.
Exactly.
That's a good one.
Let's move on to one that I feel like is predictable as well. I feel like the actress categories this year are more predictable, but also kind of mid. Cynthia Erivo, Carla, Mikey Madison, Demi Moore, and Fernanda Torres. And I feel like this is another legacy win that we're going to be seeing. So either Fernanda Torres, because her mother won it, or Demi Moore. What do you guys think?
This is better than the supporting, aside from that one person, this is better than the supporting nominees. I'm not going to stop taking shots at that crappy movie.
You know what? Keep doing it. I think all the voters are doing that too. They also want to be very open about certain things when they're voting. So we'll get to that. Sunny, what do you think?
If Wicked does win anything, they'll probably wait till next year to give it something when the sequel comes out towards the end of the year.
I forgot about that. Cynthia is good. I think she did a good job. I don't know why they were like, she was too old to play Alphaba. That's just, she's green, so she's not really real. So who am I to say that, though?
Yeah, I think they're going to give it to Demi. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, she should have two for Ghost and A Few Good Men. But if they give it to Mikey, I won't be upset at that either.
They'll probably use the age thing again. Like, she's too young, she'll get it eventually.
Yeah. You sounded like a old white dude.
I'm not a voter, but I just read what they say, unfortunately. The Hollywood Foreign Press, they are sexist and also racist.
Yeah. I'm curious. So I haven't seen I'm Still Here. And I don't know if it's going to be like a surprise win like that. Kind of like, because it is about a historical, I think it's a historical movie. But, and it could be something like how Marianne Cotillard won for La Vie en Rose, and it's like a foreign actress. But I do think I'm thinking it will be between Demi Moore and Mikey Madison. Maybe Demi, because she's been winning all the awards basically leading up to this moment. And I completely agree with you, Craig. Like, she did an amazing job in Ghost, and I like grew up watching that movie. So I'd love for her to get her flowers, but Mikey Madison did such a phenomenal job as in Anora. So it's open, but I do think it's mainly between the two, and then a potential upset from Fernanda Torres, perhaps. Yeah.
This seems like it would be like a predictable thing, but I think Demi Moore, it's your turn, girl. So yeah. make your thing now.
Yes.
Let's move on to one that I don't feel like is very predictable, but maybe it might be. We have Yura, Kieran Culkin, Edward Norton, Guy Pearce, and Jeremy Strong. So two Succession people. I think they'll probably play it safe in Guy Pearce, and maybe I really don't see how A Real Pain is on here, but maybe that's just me. I just don't feel like Searchlight Pictures or like Oscar Pictures, if that makes sense. Not like to shade them or anything, but it's just like, it seems like a very fun, heartwarming story, not like a vote me in type of story.
Yeah. Kieran Culkin has been sweeping award season, so they're definitely going to give it to him, even though he's not supporting. He's a co-lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think it's going to be Kieran Culkin, actually. And I actually really like the real... I kind of expected it to be a very lighthearted movie, like a buddy sort of like... But it was actually so emotional, and like Kieran Culkin kind of showed another side to him. It wasn't just him doing his Succession character all over again. Mm-hmm. But it was like, wow, like he really played someone with something like borderline personality disorder so well that I do think it might be Kieran Culkin, as Craig, you mentioned, he's been sweeping the awards. But yeah, we never know. It could be different, but rooting for Kieran personally, yeah.
Do you think all these wins and all these nominations for him are because Emma Stone is a producer on it? And she's won, obviously, Oscars, and she's able to push it?
That is a great question. I mean, Jesse Eisenberg has called her a fairy godmother. Like, she's the one who's been able to make these his work and this film possible. I do think, in general, like, there is something to be said about having to be in the Oscars and being in with the Hollywood life. Mm-hmm. So, like, I felt like last year with Best Leading Actress, you know, we had the three main people who were like Emma Stone, Lily Gladstone, and Sandra Hüller. And, you know, one could arguably say Sandra Hüller was a very strong, you know, had a great performance, but I did feel like Emma Stone is more in the Hollywood scene. Everybody knows her, respects her, and she's already won an Oscar. So I wonder, like, it does make a difference, I think, in general, being in. Mm-hmm. But I did feel like Kieran Culkin did such a great job after. I mean, I've only seen seen The Brutalist and Anora and A Real Pain. I haven't seen the performances of Edward Norton or Jeremy Strong, but
that's valid. I get really strong vibes from him.
yes, I'm sorry. Very strong.
I'm sorry, guys.
He's just very into it. Yeah.
Yeah, he's into a lot of things he does, so I respect him for that. So let's move into our final category, which I feel like is very predictable. Actor in a leading role, Adrien Brody, Timothy Chalamet, Colman Domingo, Ralph Fiennes, and Sebastian Stan. I think Sebastian Stan did a good job better in A Different Man. I don't know why he was nominated for this movie, but that's just my opinion. I don't think they're giving it to him. I think they're going to be like, man, it will be your time next time. I think they just got him in there to get him in there. Like, he really worked hard to get that promotion for it. Ralph Fiennes, I feel like, is a very, very safe option. I really enjoyed his performance. Very Mean Girls. I loved it. Timothy Chalamet would be the youngest winner for actor in a leading role, which would be Adrien Brody's record. So it could be him, but I think they're going to play it safe and do Adrien Brody or Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
I think, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Craig. Yeah.
Out of all of these films, I don't think I've seen, the only one I've seen is Conclave, I believe. And everything else I missed, but A Complete Unknown, I think Timothy should have been nominated for Dune Part 2 instead of A Complete Unknown.
I agree with you.
I think it's mainly going to be, still need to see Dune Part 2. I thought it was going to be likely Adrien Brody for The Brutalist. I mean, despite the AI controversies, I do think his acting was really great. But I was not sure. Timothy Chalamet got the SAG Award, right? I was a little surprised.
He did. So I
wasn't sure. Usually SAG Awards are also, can be a predictor. So I was a little bit surprised at that. And I was like, oh, maybe Timothy will pull off an upset. But likely, I think it'll be Adrien Brody. And I wouldn't be upset if Ralph Fiennes won, because he has done amazing work throughout his career. And totally agree with you. But I haven't seen The Apprentice. I've only seen the A Different Man, like Jalen, as you mentioned. That was a great, he had an amazing performance, but I do think it will, maybe not this, he won't be winning this year, maybe. I think he already won for the Golden Globe for that movie, but.
He did.
Yeah, which he totally deserves, but I think it might be Adrien Brody, I think, yeah.
The wins have been very all over the place. Sebastian Stan for the Globes, Timothy Chalamet for the SAGs. Oh, wow. Did Adrien Brody win anything yet or not yet?
I think he's been winning consistently. I think he won for the Golden Globes, but like, since they do the best for comedy and then best drama, and I think he won for drama. And I think he might have won for Critics' Choice. I'm guessing he's won for the other ones other than SAG, I think. Yeah.
I feel like it's probably going to be the safer option. Sebastian Stan, I just don't think it's his time yet. I mean, I feel like he probably should have won for I, Tonya. Way better performance. Oh,
so great. Yeah, I love I, Tonya. Yeah.
Justice for him and Margot Robbie. Said what I've said.
Yes. Amazing performances for both. Yeah.
I love that Anthony Mackie was so happy for him.
I know. A bunch of besties.
Aw. Oh,
gosh. But I would like to see the Oscars kind of throw us off and give it to Ralph Fiennes, because I really like the Conclave.
I need to watch Conclave.
Mean Girls, but for men.
They did that last year with Lily Gladstone. Lily Gladstone was sweeping, and then she lost to Emma Stone. I'm like, wow, racism.
I did not like Poor Things at all, guys.
Oh, man.
I will stand. I like the first half of it. I thought it was really funny, and I'm like the only one in the theater laughing, so I'm like, maybe it's not funny. And then it became a porno, and then I got really upset by that. And yeah, I was like, this is so awkward.
Yeah, I was disappointed at, I was like, it was so close. I felt the race was very close, and I did feel like I would have loved, because she's, Lily Gladstone was telling a story that is often forgotten and is not often told. Like, I hadn't really grown up hearing about it, and I would have loved for her to have her time. You know, Emma Stone has already won an Oscar, but
She does it very well, Emma Stone. That's why she's getting these wins. Not necessary. I mean, La La Land's a really good performance, but I didn't think it was like an Oscar-worthy win, in my opinion, as compared to somebody like Scarlett Johansson, which I'm still mad about because I feel like she didn't play the game, per se, with the Hollywood Foreign Press.
I can't.
So she didn't win.
And this is how I feel. I've been like kind of reflecting a lot, you know, and just like the politics at work, right? Sometimes, and I'm like, I'm not good at it. But some people are great at it. Some people are great at it. Maybe that's how they get really they get somewhere.
Scarlett to play that game, but she didn't, which I completely respect because like they are sexist and kind of harassing sexually, which is very mean. So maybe next time when she does her Featherwood movie, which I cannot wait for because that's going to be Andrea Arnold who did American Honey. So I'm very, very excited for that because it's supposed to be about like her being undercover with the FBI or something like that.
No, if anything, I think that the year I stopped watching, I think Florence should have won because Florence was nominated for Little Women for supporting, and the actress that won for Marriage Story, she was only in the movie for like 5 minutes. I'm like, are you serious?
Her performance was really good, though, and I think it was a legacy win.
I could totally see that.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it ain't Florence Pugh and Little Woman. So
she won over Scarlett for the leading role, and she did that take in the lawyer's office one time.
Wow, really?
So pissed. Yeah, she was like talking about it, and it was a one-take thing.
That's fantastic. I didn't realize like the whole where she gives the pep talk. She's like,
yeah, that I don't know if that one was a one take, but the one where she's there and Scarlett's character is talking to her, just like when she's like crying when you get that
meme. Pep talk. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I really like that. And then like Adam Driver really gave an incredible performance, like Leonardo DiCaprio, good. But for whatever reason, they don't like Leo or Adam Driver.
Yeah, he won for getting mauled by a bear.
I did not like that movie. It just aggravated me. I was like, somebody needs to help this man. Yes.
The movie is okay, but he should have won for Wolf of Wall Street. I hated him so much in that movie.
That car scene. Oh my gosh. He should have won just for that scene.
Yes.
My gosh. But with the Oscars, what is your most hated movie of 2024? Craig, we already know yours is Emilia Perez. And it doesn't have to be an Oscar movie or anything like that. What movie did you just hate the most?
Now I have to check my letterbox. Go ahead, Sonny.
Oh, I'm gonna be honest. Like, I agree with you, Craig, about Emilia Perez. I feel like it's the worst because it's not even like bad funny. It's not like The Room where it's like, oh, it's kind of entertaining. It just is offensive in a lot of ways, culturally insensitive, culturally incompetent. And it's also very boring in some ways. It's just kind of like lingers and just meanders. And they kind of have this idea that it's like, oh, it's okay for her to have been a criminal. It's like she wasn't her true self. It's fine. And I just feel like there's something a little bit morally reprehensible about that. And so bad acting, just kind of like all over the place. I feel like I am just so disappointed that the Academy chose to give 13 nominations to that kind of a movie. So I completely agree with you, Craig. That's like the movie that must not be named.
So glad I didn't watch that movie. Mine's not even an Oscar movie. I have several. Damsel on Netflix. Ray Winstone, Millie Bobby Brown. That should give you the biggest hint that it's a Netflix movie because that's the only studio that will hire her. I can't tell you what it's about because I turned it off after 10 minutes. and Angela Bassett's somewhere in it. And it's like, is she a damsel in distress or something like that? Not a single clue, but I didn't stick around to find out.
Why would they do that to Angela?
Yeah, it's so sad.
But she got to work with Robert De Niro in Zero Day, so I guess that makes up for that. Red One, comparing it to It's a Wonderful Life was the most disrespectful thing I've ever heard in my entire 29 years on this earth. Because that movie was so bad, and he turned into like Ant-Man at some point. Chris Evans is a deadbeat dad. It should not have been in theaters. Why'd you pay The Rock $50 million for this? And he's peeing in bottles.
It, well, Eel. It's sad. The Rock is a better wrestler than Dwayne is a better actor.
I would like to just forget. My favorite movie of him will always be The Game Plan, and I stand by that until the day I die. And I also have another movie because I love to bash it, Deadpool and Wolverine. That movie was so offensive to me as a Christian because I cannot believe he called himself Marvel Jesus. That man is not funny. He's not funny. Yeah. That movie was so bad. It ruined Logan for me, and I will stand by that because they're like, it won't ruin the movie Logan, but it did because they're in that universe now, and like all the characters weren't the same characters that they were in their respective movies. Like, that wasn't Johnny Storm, that was just Chris Evans being his Boston self. Wesley Snipes, I'm very surprised he agreed to come back because he does not like Ryan Reynolds, and I do not blame him because I don't like Ryan Reynolds. And Hugh Jackman, I think he was bullied into that movie in that god awful yellow mustard suit he had on. I cannot, guys.
Oh, I loved it. The suit, the classic X-Men suit, I love it.
And why did they have the little version? The little version of Wolverine, and I could not stop. I could not with the movie. I almost walked out of the movie. The only good part in the movie was the montage at the very end. But the CGI was really bad. And they're like, yeah, we know. We did that on purpose. No, babes, you did not. You just were lazy. Just say you were lazy. You tried your best, and it just looked like garbage.
Also, The Strangers Chapter 1, that was so boring.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that movie.
And the movie was so bad that they pushed back Chapter 2.
I totally forgot they made that movie. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. I forgot, too. A lot of people forgot.
Oh, my gosh. I watched too many movies. I was still stuck on the Red One movie and the whole fact he pissed in a bottle.
Yeah, and Miller's Girl with Jenna Ortega.
Oh, that movie I didn't finish.
Oh, God.
I wanted him to finish either. I was like, I don't need to see her do that.
I love Jenna Ortega, but after watching that, whoever her hiring manager, whoever her agent is, I would be severely pissed off because she's always playing a teenager. Mm-hmm. Or if she's playing a young adult, she's overly sexualized, and I'm tired of both of those. I think
they need to let her be
her roles.
They need to let her be. They need to let her spread her wings and fly away from whatever manager is making her do those types of roles.
Mm-hmm. And I think the problem is it's kind of like what Sandra. It's kind of like what you said about. What's his name? Pedro. How you feel about Pedro? That's kind of how I feel about Jenna. Like, she's great in supporting roles, and mm-hmm. she's great at picking TV shows, but not so good
in movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what doesn't give me a lot of hope for Fantastic Four. Not gonna lie.
Oh, yeah, that one.
He's really good in The Mandalorian, like, though.
I'm excited about that because it looks like because I'm reading a bunch of classic Fantastic Four comics right now. It looks like it was ripped straight out of the original comics.
Oh, gosh. Well, speaking of Marvel, since you brought it up, Craig, or I did. we have word that Kathleen Kennedy is looking to eventually step down and find her replacement. But that led me to thinking, why can't Kevin Feige just step down? Because he continues to make bomb after bomb after bomb and shows that we keep forgetting about. Is it time for him to go? Who would you replace him with? And when will he go? Because he has no choice.
I'll let Sunny go first.
Oh, are you sure, Greg? I feel like you may have more expertise in this than I do. I can follow up later on, but
go for it, Greg.
Yeah.
There hasn't really been any like Marvel film since Infinity War that I've like attached myself to other than Guardians 3. And a lot of the TV shows aren't connecting with the films, and a lot of the people that are writing the films have never, if you check their IMDb, they've never written a movie before. They've only written TV shows, and that's why the movies are just so badly structured.
Oh, interesting.
And they openly admit to not have watching the last projects that they've done. So I don't remember who it was, but they're like, yeah, I've not seen anything from Sam Wilson, Anthony Mackie before. And I was like, okay, so you wrote the movie. It's like Multiverse Man. It's like you didn't see WandaVision. Even the lead actress, Elizabeth Olsen, was like, hello. It's like no connectivity. I think it is time for him to sit down. He's like, really, give it to Jon Favreau. I like Jon Favreau.
Yeah, he's good.
He is.
Yeah. I'm not as like really well versed in Marvel movies, but like the ones I feel like after the Avengers, I've been kind of bad about it. So after the Avengers and WandaVision, I haven't kept a pulse, but I've nothing has really stuck with me in terms of the Marvel TV shows. I've also heard that they haven't been doing well at all in the box office. So I don't know if anyone who has been able to do better with Marvel movies could take the place.
It's turning into DC.
It's yeah.
I can't with it. It makes DC me so mad.
After Fantastic Four, I think it might be it for me because they've been losing me for the past few years, and even
we pay our money to go there and we want to make sure we're spending our time watching a movie that we're going to at least have fun with. Correct. I think the last movie I had fun with was Gladiator 2 in the theaters.
Ooh, how was that?
And the lady filming it on her phone next to me. That's
no, that's horrible.
It made me so upset. But before that, Red One, I almost walked out. Not going to lie. It was really bad. So Chris Evans has my money now, I guess.
Well, when you pay for a Rock movie, you get a Rock movie.
I took it for the team to see it, okay? Because I refuse to watch anything with The Rock unless it's The Game Plan. I don't know why I like The Game Plan. I just like The Game Plan, okay? It's a fun movie for me.
I need to watch it.
Yeah, he plays Marvel, like a quarterback or something.
Marvel needs to work on their animation more than anything, because X-Men 97 is great. Spider-Man, even though I haven't seen the new Spider-Man series, everyone is raving about it. So I think they need to work more on their animation department.
No, I agree. A lot of people really like animation, especially in Star Wars, because I know people are like really, I don't watch animation, but I know like people are really attached to that Clone Wars show.
Yeah.
But I've never seen it. Like, if you've only seen like the movies and then you see Ahsoka and you're like kind of confused because you're like, how does she fit into this? Because like, if I thought I understood that he wasn't a master and never got to be a master, and then all of a sudden he was a master to Ahsoka, so I was like really confused. So I'm like, now I gotta watch this show to figure it out. And it just really pissed me off. But you know what I've also noticed an uptick in, and I just cannot stand this, is like when I was watching Red One, I noticed a lot of like CGI fighting, and it really pisses me off to see that when there's so many excellent fighting films that like do it so practically. And it's just like, what leads them to do CGI fighting in general? And like, why are they so lazy not wanting to like watch, like go watch Rush Hour or like a Jackie Chan movie and you'll see how awesome his fighting skills are.
Oh, I miss Jackie Chan. Oh my God.
I watched his Police Story the other day. I loved it. Not the original, like the newer one.
Ooh, like, I didn't see the newer one. Oh my gosh.
I told my friend, I was like, I got Rush Hour vibes from it because like he fights real good like that. And those are the, those, that's the only movie I've seen him in. So I'm like, oh, I didn't know he spoke Chinese. I'm sorry. But I really loved it. He goes, yeah, just watch this one. So he gave me a really random one to watch. And I was like, man, this guy got some skills. Now I got to watch the other ones.
The CGI, wait, what'd you say the movie was called?
Police Story.
I need to add that to my story. Add that to my list.
It was the one where he's in the club. And I really, really liked it. That man got skills.
CGI fighting, I do agree. It is very, like Sony does that a lot. And it's
a Sony thing. Awful.
It is just terrible. It's very distracting, especially with the what I really hate is when they do in certain like superhero films where they have the protagonist and the antagonist have like the same powers. Mm. I think that kind of gets played out and old. They did that in the first Venom, in one of the Venom movies where it was symbiote versus symbiote. I'm like, well, this isn't fun.
I've never seen Venom.
You're not missing much.
Oh, wait, I've seen the one with Woody Harrelson, but I don't really remember it. But I also thought that was the one that the Eminem song was in. But I only watched it because Tom Hardy was in it. Because I like Tom Hardy. That's the
first one.
Is it Michelle Pfeiffer in it? No, not Michelle Pfeiffer. Michelle Williams? No. The one that was married to Heath Ledger.
Michelle Williams?
Yeah. I said like three opposite names.
You got it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. There's a way to do CGI, but Sony doesn't know how to do it. And if you've seen Uncharted, it is horrendous.
Oh, the one with Tom Holland?
I like the story. It's a fun story, but like Mark Wahlberg's there. I don't really understand that part. You're like, no, thank you. He's good in movies that he's by himself.
Yeah.
Like that Daddy movie with the, what's his name? Will Ferrell. I like that movie, but that's it. Daddy's Home.
Those movies, I prefer the other guys over Daddy's Home.
Oh, yes, he is in that movie. I forgot. I love that movie. Aim for Bushes.
The CGI fights are just, they are just so unfun to watch. And it just kind of takes the fun out of everything. Like, that's why I like a lot of Christopher Nolan films. But one thing he's very bad at is writing women protagonists, and the other one is fight scenes. His fight scenes are just so unfun to watch,
but they're practical though, and I love the what
practically
I
terrible
really liked about him is that he made a practical miniature atomic bomb.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And that is the most mind-blowing thing ever. I cannot wait for the Odyssey. And now people have to watch read the Odyssey, because I remember reading it in school, but apparently it's not a thing now, but I really enjoyed it. But I'm excited for all the miniature stuff he makes, because I know for the Batman he made that whole freeway scene, like that was a miniature built he did, and really? I just really enjoyed that. Only movie of his I don't like is The Prestige, just because trying to out magic each other, and I just didn't like it. That's the way I describe it, because I really didn't like that movie, and I don't know why people love it. I'm like, they're just trying to out magic each other, and then there's Scarlett Johansson really randomly.
Yeah, it was like kind of them being mean to each other, and it was just like, ooh, like so much meanness in that movie.
I don't even remember why they were mean to each other. It was like one of the wives died or something like that.
Yeah, and then but it was Hugh Jackman. Like that.
Hugh Jackman just didn't really mash well with Christopher Nolan, in my opinion.
That's Uncharted, I played all four Uncharted video games, and the problem with the movie is that they didn't know which story from the game they wanted to tell, so they took the story from the multiple games, mashed them together, took a couple of action sequences from each game and mashed it together, made Tom Holland's character younger than he is in the game, and did the same thing with Mark Wahlberg's character.
They love Tom Holland at Sony. Just like Warner Brothers loves Timothy Chalamet. For that's whatever true, reason. Yes. It's like, oh my gosh. We already know we're going to get an Uncharted 2.
I don't want that.
Oh my gosh. So we got some fun questions to end the show. So I saw a note from the AMC CEO about 30-day theatrical windows and how they're not enough. And it's just so funny how we evolved from like 90 days, 120 days to 30 days. And it's just like, if it doesn't make its money in the first weekend, it's a bomb. And I'm like, I remember seeing Deathly Hallows Part 2 like 90 days after the fact. And I had a fun time in a theater all by myself.
Yeah.
But what do you guys think about those theatrical windows? Should they be longer, shorter?
Actually, so right now, is it currently 30 days or is it like...
Yeah, I noticed it was like 30 days or like less than. Like A24 is definitely less than. Because if you don't see it the first weekend, there's a good chance you're not going to see it for like maybe a year until it's on a streaming platform.
This is true. Maybe it's just like the fact that kind of everybody wants to see results right away. That's kind of like the mentality, and like how we have TikTok. It's just like they just want instant gratification. So it's like if you don't see the results right away, they're like, we're going to pull it. It doesn't make business sense. And it's just kind of like, that's it. And there's not a sense of wanting to give things a chance. I don't know. But what are your thoughts, Craig and Jalen?
I mean, I saw that they gave more of a chance to like Wicked because it was in there for longer, which I really appreciated. Barbie, obviously, and Oppenheimer, they even re-released it after the fact, and Oppenheimer is still being re-released to this day. I think it's in the theater right now. Well, it's like in the theater.
Oh, wow.
50 miles away from me, but he's like, wow. I can only show in IMAX 70 millimeter. I'm like, girl, this is like 50 miles away from me. I can't go there. Can you just like make it in a regular IMAX situation? And it was so long. They had to make like an extension for that, for the film. And it was just crazy.
I love Christopher. Oh my gosh.
It was crazy. But I definitely remember seeing movies like 90 days after the fact. And I really hated, like, if you don't see it within the first 2 weeks, there's, like, a good chance you won't get to see it in the theaters, period.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, and that's why I usually try to go to see whatever A24 has out, like, as soon as possible. And the 30-day window... I guess it just depends on the studio. A24 always does well, and Warner Brothers, they usually do well. But
Dune out pretty fast, though. They did not give that thing a chance at all. I mean, it's like they set it up to fail. Like the Marvels, they set it up to fail purposely. And it just was really heartbreaking because like Dune Part 2 is a phenomenal movie.
I think that if with the Marvels, I think that if they would have, it was bad timing with the Marvels because that came out during the writer strike.
They should have swapped it and put the Marvels in the Deadpool's place and then pushed out Deadpool to fix all their issues.
You just wanted Deadpool to fail.
I do. I want every movie that man's in to fail because they're not good movies. I didn't even see the second one. Someone tried to bully me into seeing the second one.
What?
I was like, no, I don't need to see that. I think it's
better than the first one, but I don't even, like, I saw the second one maybe like twice.
Well, the actress in it who plays like his love interest like lost her eyesight for a little bit due to like an unwater scene, and she talks about it, and she's like a rumor allegedly where he like kind of iced her out for the third one because you don't see her with any of the cast in the pictures. And then obviously one of the stunt drivers, she's the first African American road racer. I can't remember like the level of biking it is, but she passed away because the producers were like pressuring her to do a stunt without a helmet.
That
That's
is
awful.
crazy.
So that just goes to my hatred for those movies. I saw the first one. It's okay. It's not like a Valentine's Day movie, which is what it was like kind of portrayed to me to be, but
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I've only seen the first one, and I was kind of underwhelmed. Everyone was saying that Ryan Reynolds can. I had a classmate back in the day, and he was like, "That Ryan Reynolds can solve any problem, any movie. You'll love it." And I watched it. I was like, "I don't feel like."
I never got the love for him. I just Buried is okay because like he's under a
Oh,
box and it's like him and his wife can only do movies if they're just by themselves. Like her in The Shallows, I actually really enjoyed The Shallows. I think the shark had some sexual harassment claims against her, but that's I can neither confirm nor deny that situation. But Buried is okay. He's in like an A24 movie, but that movie didn't really make any sense. And I don't remember the name of it, but it's on HBO. And it's like his daughter gets kidnapped and put into like some sex trafficking thing because like she's like stolen out of the back of his truck. I was like really confused by that movie, to be honest. I really don't. I can't even exp I just know the
I've never
girl
even
was
heard of it.
kidnapped. It's like an older movie. I never got around to watching Life because he's in it, but I really love Rebecca Ferguson and she's just a phenomenal actress. And I really thought in the Greatest Showman, that was her singing, but it's not.
Oh, darn. She's
I
amazing.
thought it was her. She really is. Oh my gosh. But yeah. So we're gonna end a positive note. What's a gem of a show that you really just don't hear anybody talk about that you want to just rave about and get people to watch or bully them into watching?
Sunny.
Long pause.
Sure. Actually,
Are you watching anything right now?
oh, me right now? I'm watching movies that most people or shows. Show if we're talking about TV shows, I'm watching I think most of the popular shows actually. So like I am watching Severance, the second season, White Lotus, the third season. I'm really excited. I think the new one's gonna drop for the Severance second season is really good. And the third season of White Lotus, I think another episode's gonna drop. If we're talking about a show that we don't hear that many people talk about, I actually this is an older show, but I didn't hear too many people talking about Barry. Did you all hear a lot of people talking about Barry from Bill Hader? I actually thought it
Oh, I
was a
know what you're
really
talking about, but it's on my list. I just haven't seen it.
We have a
Oh,
big
nice.
list. We have a big
I understand having a big list. No, that's awesome. I
It's hard to keep
actually,
up with shows.
it really is. And then they're all like a commitment. And like even Barry itself, I think it's about five seasons actually.
Oh,
But
Lord.
I really liked it. I thought it was very action packed. I didn't realize like Bill Hader that had that much of an acting range. Actually, I thought I only see it heard of him as more of a comedic sort of person. And it was just, and I think he directs and writes it too. So I actually like Barry, but curious to hear your recommendations for shows, gems of a show.
I will always rave about Killing Eve. I'm still upset about the very last season.
Watch it.
Just because they didn't get a chance to have their relationship and it makes me very sad. Sandra Oh, that woman
She's
has
amazing.
she deserves every single Emmy that's ever been nominated for her. Like I just can't believe she's never won an Emmy and it just makes me upset. I won another season and I just really enjoy both of the performances and it made me get introduced to Jodie Comer, who I absolutely love. And I only saw Free Guy just for her, just because I really enjoyed her. And in that wig, she kind of looked like Winona Ryder, and I couldn't get that out of my head. It just really looked weird, like that could be her daughter. That was one on AMC, but also like BBC. I watched that like all the way through, just like after the fact. Two for me, I have a kick with like Apple TV. Silo.
Oh, I've heard really good things, and I just started it. It's interesting.
So good. Don't read the book. I know there's a book, and there was like a Q&A, and I was like going back and forth with the author. I was like, I got questions. I need help. But it's so good. I think they said season three, we might not see a lot of her because it's supposed to be a different book that they're doing when they're in a, I don't want to spoil it, when they're in a different little area. Another one I really liked is Dark Matter, and that's a Joel Edgerton and oh my gosh, what's her name, the one that's married to Paul Bettany,
Jennifer Connelly.
Yes. I don't know why I forgot her name for all of a sudden, but it is like the most mind-bending twister, and I'm glad they're doing a season two because I had so many questions, and it was just like all these different versions of yourself, but you don't have what the other person has. And so this guy who created this box goes, I want that life. And then he realizes, oh yeah, I know, I don't want to be married or have a child. But there's like thousands of different versions of them out there. And it's just the most insane thing. But Craig, what about you?
I think that's, right now, I just caught up with, I just started watching Reacher on Amazon Prime, which it's based on a series of books that Tom Cruise, he played the character in two movies, but he is nothing how the book describes the character. The actor that plays him in the Reacher TV series, he looks and is built like how the character is described in the books. And it's three seasons. And I woke up at like 7 a.m. today, and I just started binging. And I'm on the last episode of season one. So I'm trying to catch up as soon as possible.
Oh my gosh. That sounds really nice. I started watching Veep, and that's only because of TikTok. And because I love Julia Louis-Dreyfus, that woman is most hilarious person ever. Like my favorite Nepo baby.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize she was a Nepo baby.
I know. I think her like family is like a billionaires, but like that girl has like so much talent. How she hasn't won Oscars yet is like beyond me.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There's a movie that she did. It was James Gandolfini's last movie. And there's also, it's by the same director. She also was in a movie called You Hurt My Feelings, which I really love
that movie so much. It's so funny. She's like putting potato salad in foil. And she's like, it's potato salad. You're not taking.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. She's funny. And it's just like, not like she doesn't do it on purpose. She's just really funny.
Yeah. Naturally funny. I think. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Severance is so freaking good too.
It's amazing. Are you on season two right now? Are you watching season two, Craig?
Yeah, I finally caught up with all the episodes in a week. And it's my favorite episode so far of this season is 2, 4, and 7.
Oh, the 7 was the one we just had, right?
Yes.
Well, I learned so much from that one. And then 4 is, I think it's like highly acclaimed that I remember. I was like, oh.
Yes. I was like, drown her.
Oh gosh. Maybe I should get into this show. Yeah. I just couldn't get into it. I tried. Please. I just couldn't. It couldn't pull me in all the way. I think I like more limited series. That's just like kind of.
Speaking of limited. I'm still very upset that Kristen Milioti did not win for the Penguin at the Golden Globes and the SAG Awards. Mommy, you deserved it.
I only saw 2 episodes and I was like, she'd be besties with Harley Quinn. I didn't finish it because I forgot about it.
I should watch it.
If the show doesn't pull me in, that probably means I forgot about it. And I can't help it. Oh my gosh. But yeah. I really like Apple. I think they do a really good job with their shows, and they're really good at like just not canceling their shows. Netflix, take notes, $18.99. I want it back, and I want it back now because I need resolution, or just give it to Apple.
Yeah, maybe that's a solution. Yeah.
I was so upset about that show. I got really into it too. It was like really critically acclaimed, being raved about by people. And then they're like, yeah, it got canceled. I'm like, but they finished the season without giving me answers. I need to know now.
Not only is that a problem, but if TV shows do last a certain amount of time, like four seasons or whatever, I've heard a lot of fans complain over the past few years that their favorite TV shows have had bad endings.
Killing That's Eve. True. Killing Eve. Justice what for Killing that? Eve.
Like Umbrella Academy. Well, they did the Umbrella Academy in the last season. Oh, it was so terrible.
They get lazy towards the end, I feel. Like Grey's Anatomy, they've been getting lazy. That's why I stopped watching it. I just kind of moved on. It's like you've lost my interest. It was like Stranger Things. Like, okay, the first season's cool, but then you took like 4 years to make season two, and I've already moved on. I forgot what the story is about, and I'm not going to rewatch it to remember.
Isn't there like 20 seasons of that show, Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah, there is.
Oh, yeah. I
they're all like the same.
I don't have that type of time.
All you need to go up to is like maybe when Christina leaves.
And what season is that?
I think 9.
Well, that's
she knew when to leave. She knew when to leave, though. Sandra was like, "I gotta go."
I got all the writing on the wall.
I need that woman to be in more films, like more serious films, because I need her to win like all the awards. Because she is like the most intense actress I've ever watched, and I'm not being biased because we share like the same name, but. But I am. Oh my gosh. But anyways, this was a very long episode. I'm glad we got into it before the Oscars started. I don't even know if it... No, because it's still technically 2:24.
Yeah.
We don't share time zones yet, Sunny.
Not yet.
I'm in the one state that we don't experience time zone change.
Are you both on Mountain Time, by the way?
No, I'm in Mountain Time, Mountain Time, and then once Daylight Savings, I'll be back in Pacific with you.
Pacific.
Okay, but our time doesn't change.
Okay. Awesome.
Arizona. Woo, woo, woo.
How about you, Craig? Where are you based?
Atlanta.
Atlanta. Okay. So you're on Eastern.
Eastern. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, nice.
Too late for him. But yes, this was episode 24, a very long episode indeed. Oscars are tonight. If you're going to watch it, let me know if Chris Rock gets slapped or something tonight or somebody gets slapped, let me know and I'll turn it on. Yes. If not, I won't be watching it. Probably be watching a movie or just going to bed. Anyways, that's episode 24. I'm your co-host, Jalen. As always, you can find me on themidicasters.com. All my socials are there. Craig, where can they find you?
On all socials, Craig Jr. 97 on YouTube, All Nerd, everything. And if you want to argue with me about my movie or TV show opinions, I don't care. You're still wrong.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
I love that.
That's so funny. We always argue with him. And we also have some new intro and outro music premiering, hopefully today. I was working on, so I was playing around with it. If you don't like it, keep your comments to yourself. If you do like it, then tell me that you love it. Sunny, where can they find you at on your socials?
Yeah. So I am on TikTok, Sunny C Side Up. And I also have an Instagram, building up Instagram on Sunny C Film. So really looking forward to just like talking with everyone, just like connecting. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for having me on this amazing show. You both are awesome.
We can have you back on because we love talking with you. And I think this is our longest episode yet.
Oh my gosh, this was amazing. Thank you both so much. It was an honor. And like, I had such a great time. Learned so much from both of you.
Always. But like I said, that is episode 24, guys. Come back next time for episode 25. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Craig, bye. he's like this.
I am up to this. When I came to you with those calculations, we thought we might start a chain reaction that would destroy the entire world.
I remember it well. What happened?
I believe we did.